You didn't have your large popcorn
I
snack on
did.
having a good time?
I did. I had it, and I just some fucking kid was behind us, this whole family, and they were just like smacking their lips, eating some candy, and it was driving me nuts. So it drove me so nuts that like I just turned around and I went.
Did you?
And I'm like, motherfucker!
You crazy person.
I couldn't take it anymore. That was like one. I would say about an hour and a half into this 3-hour opus. And I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, Jesus Christ. It's just like white noise to these parents. Like, they've accepted that their kids don't know how to eat. And it pissed me off. And I'm mad now just thinking about it. You've awakened the dragon.
Oh, my God.
This coming out of the mouth of the guy who was just talking about how strong the word hate is.
Dark Knight Rises sucks.
He is not a mentally disabled person.
Are you nuts?
He's just Southern.
I agree with Justin.
Oh, God.
Uptown all the way.
That's Justin's kiss of death right there.
I like songs with instructions because it really helps me out.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Amanda, and as always, I am joined by Justin, David, and Randy. How are you guys today?
Fabulous.
Amazing.
Stupendous.
Woo. So we had a very eventful weekend, not the least of which was Catching Fire. Catching Ooh. Fire in the theaters.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good, right?
Like Ed McMahon over there.
Dave, you got to see a screening before the huddled masses, and you wrote us a spectacular review. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts?
Well, I've been pretty vocal that I was not a fan of Catching Fire, the novel, and everything that Francis Lawrence, the director, had said about Catching Fire kind of made me think I wasn't going to like the movie. He was talking about playing up the romance and this and that. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to see this movie. But I left that movie theater extremely happy. I was ear-to-ear smiles. I loved the hell out of the movie. And I know all of you saw it except Amanda. What did you guys think? Randy.
Wow. First thing that stood out to me was it just looked amazingly better than the first one. In terms of the effects and the acting, everything about it, even though it was kind of a long movie, to me, it didn't feel long. It felt just the right length. In fact, maybe even short because of the way it ended. Now, I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything, although by now, I imagine if you're a fan, you will have already seen it. But I had, for example, I'm going to throw back to something that David mentioned in an earlier episode of the podcast. For example, your mother's reaction after seeing Fellowship of the Ring. Like, what? How can they end the movie there? That's exactly how I felt here because I hadn't read the book. I only read the first one. And actually, after listening to you talk about how much you didn't like the second one, it kind of led me not to read it. But so I had no idea what was coming. Everything was just blindsiding me left and right. I'm like, holy shit, you know? And I was so sucked into it that I just didn't see the end coming. And now I'm all sorts of pumped for the next one. I'm super excited. And I heard that the next one's going to be two movies. So that's kind of frustrating in itself. But hey, right. If The Hobbit can be three movies, why not?
Yeah, I can't believe they're splitting that last book into two movies. It's going to be a boring first movie.
Yeah, well, where they're going to split it, I'm assuming you're going to leave the theater just furious, Randy. You're going to be like, what?
Even more so?
Yeah. There's a pretty like, definitive, like, splitting point in the book. And, yeah, if it's where I think it's going to be, you'll be shaking your head. What did you think of the movie, Justin?
Honestly, I was a little bored. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. I just don't think that I am 100% invested in the Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah? Was it too long for you? It was you know, 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. And it took a while to get the games going. And they're always on the train. Like, it takes 200 years to get to each city. And I don't know. It wasn't fun for me. Not that it's necessarily supposed to be fun. I get that it's kind of a darker, even darker version than the first one. But at the same time, I wasn't enjoying myself.
Did you read the books too?
I read the first book.
I kind of feel like, well, just like the nature of the story, I feel like you kind of have to be a fan of the books. Just because there is just so much other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. I mean, I haven't seen Catching Fire yet, but from what I read in Dave's review and from what other people are saying about it, it seems like if you're a big fan of the books, then it's a much, much better movie than the first one was.
Yeah, I would say that. It's kind of a, like, for a movie that should really be all about, like, girl power, like Katniss being a strong girl, it's kind of distracting because anytime there's any kind of adversity in the film, Katniss cries and has to be comforted by a male, whether it's Haymitch or Finnick or Peeta or Gale. Like, she just doesn't, my only complaint would be she doesn't really become the hero that, like, we want her to be. Like, anytime something happens, she cries and someone has to comfort her.
Right, and I agree. And I think all these people are looking to her as inspiration to be rebellious. And the entire time, she's just upset and doesn't want to do anything. She wants to die, basically. Everyone's just so quick to sacrifice themselves. No one wants to survive. Here's a movie that's all about survival, and everyone's just throwing their lives out the window. It cracks me up. It's like,
well, it is a pretty shitty world they're living in.
It's like that movie where the comet's coming for Earth, and everyone wins the lottery to get a free seat, but then they're all so quick to say, oh, I'm staying. I'm not going. I'm staying.
Deep Impact?
Yeah. I don't know. It drives me nuts. And so I couldn't get into it. And then when the one buff guy is playing piggyback with the old lady Mags, I couldn't take that seriously. And you still heard cannons going off without seeing anybody get killed. Yeah, there was some scenes where, you know, someone got an arrow in the chest or a big old spear in the face or something, but there were several cannon shots going off without having seen any violence. And
right.
That's fine, but it's just, it doesn't, I need Starship Trooper violence in a situation like that, and it just, it plays the PG-13 card a little too close to the chest, and I don't know, it just doesn't.
Was the first one rated R, or was it PG-13?
No, they're both PG-13. Well, I think that goes to them being almost too faithful to Suzanne Collins, because, you know, in the book, you're never away from Katniss, and so those people die away from Katniss, to where in the movie they kind of started to show more with, like, Snow and Pluruk. And I'm hoping that eventually we just kind of go away from the Katniss point of view and just have her be the main character. And because there's a lot of stuff that happens in the third book that I think will be infuriating to, like, just normal casual goers if it's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, we did this, 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 and this. You weren't there, but it all went well.
Right. You know, yeah.
So we don't see that.
Right. So, I mean, they're ready for war. War is here, and it's, she doesn't want it. So it's, I don't know, that's boring to me.
Gotcha.
And she hates the life, but she doesn't want to fight for it. I don't know. I don't get it.
Right. Well, it definitely made some money at the box office. It made $158 million in the U.S. alone. And important thing to note with that is that it wasn't available in 3D. This is only regular screenings and the occasional IMAX screening. So it's the third highest grossing opening weekend for a non-3D movie. That's a lot of words.
So does that mean that they'll make the third ones in IMAX and 3D just to make even more money?
No, they don't have time because they want to do one a year.
Oh.
And so there's no time to A, film in 3D, or B, to post-convert, just because they want to just crank them out. It's kind of similar to how they did with Deathly Hallows for Harry Potter. They just didn't have time to get the first part in 3D. The second part was in 3D, so, I mean, they may try that, but it's kind of wonky. Like, Harry Potter had 7 movies not in 3D and then one in 3D. And so I think that's their thinking for Mockingjay 1 and 2. It's just go 2D all the way.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But, Catching Fire. It's pretty good. As Amanda said, it caught fire this weekend.
Yeah. I was ready to put it out.
Just peeing on it?
Yeah.
They'll see the smoke, man. They'll see the smoke. One last thing for movies. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty had another trailer. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I'm really looking forward to this film. They're really blurring the line of like what's actually happening and what he's like imagining. And I'm just so afraid that the movie's going to end and we think it's all real, and then it's going to be like he was just zoned out like the whole movie, and everything he thought was like fake, but it like encouraged him to go talk to Kristen Wiig, and that's the movie we get. So I don't know if you guys had any strong opinion either way on that.
Well, the second trailer made it look like he, like within like the first 25 minutes or so, he decides to go ahead and live his life. Yeah, it could still be one big phony baloney thing, but we are given the impression, as opposed to the first trailer, that now he is actually out looking for a negative 25 to go find Sean Penn and at the same time, you know, explore his life and figure out what he's doing wrong and become a better person.
Yeah, I hope that's the way they're going.
Even to the point to where he jumps out of the helicopter, gets in that life raft or that little dinghy, and touches the guy's face and says, "Oh my God, you are real. Sorry for touching your face."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's hope. I hope your optimism rubs off on me, and that happens, Justin.
Yeah.
Cross my fingers. I'll let you know Wednesday. What? That's really all I got for the films, Dale. What about you, Amanda? You got something in the TV there? Or are we going to Justin now?
No, there was awesome stuff happening on television this past weekend.
Oh yeah, like what?
I'm so excited! Like the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yeah!
Yay!
Oh my God, I'm pumped!
It's over. Never again.
Nope.
Like eight more months of 50th anniversary nonsense.
It was really good. I was a little worried that it might just be, you know, all sizzle and no substance, but it actually came out to be a very entertaining special, and we got to see David Tennant as the Doctor again, which was very fun and nice and enjoyable, and I loved the banter between him and Matt Smith. I don't think I realized how much I actually missed David Tennant until I saw him back again. It was very enjoyable, and at the end when he got back in his TARDIS to go, I was just like, oh God, this is so sad.
I know, and then he says, "I don't want to go." I'm like, yeah. Damn it!
And
me both, Buster.
Ugh.
I'm glad that they made it in a way to where they won't remember what happened, because they made the point of saying that these doctors are the way they are because of what happened. Right. You know, the catastrophic event of ending lives. And that would have been unfortunate if they changed who they were.
Yeah, nothing was retconned. It was just reimagined within the context of the show.
Yeah.
So none of the continuity has been disrupted.
What do you think about taking the appearance of an older Tom Baker for an older, slightly kind of quote-unquote retired doctor?
I thought that was cute.
I thought it was cool. I'm not sure how – I know that's a big play to the fans, because for a lot of people, especially people our age that are Doctor Who fans, Tom Baker is kind of like their guy, because that was the one that was in the 80s. That was kind of what they grew up with.
Right. I thought that was neat. And when he says, "Who knows?" I thought that was cute, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, wow, that actually makes sense in more ways than you could imagine. And
yeah,
I like
all around, it was just really cute and enjoyable and made me cry and laugh. And
yeah, but there are a billion Daleks up there. That was funny, too. No? Wasn't funny to you guys?
What?
When he says there are a billion Dalek spaceships up there. They're like, yeah, well, we'll take care of a billion. You guys don't remember that part?
I don't think I remember that part.
It's not a real number, which makes it fun.
And also all the little, like, nods of the head to Whovians. Like, all the little jokes. John Hurt's doctor scoffing at Matt Smith for saying timey-wimey.
Yeah.
And David Tennant pretending like he had no idea
yeah.
where that came from. And then when he married Elizabeth the First, it was kind of like a callback to a throwaway line that I think Matt Smith made in a previous episode about how Queen Elizabeth's still waiting to elope with him.
I like it when Tennant came out of the TARDIS on the horse saying Alonzi. That was cute.
Oh my god, it was just great and wonderful. And I wish that they could both be the Doctor.
Yeah.
For a little while longer.
Me too.
I would like to argue that when they were scanning the door with their sonic screwdrivers, they're all technically in the same time, so that shit with scanning the screwdriver wouldn't work.
Because John Hurt was scanning it, but so the calculation was still going on in the software.
But the software's
when they scanned it again. What?
But they're all together at the same time. I don't see how that works.
But each doctor represents a different point in his life, though. Matt Smith is 400 years after John Hurt.
I get that, but that's kind of out the window when they're all standing next to each other. They're all in the now.
When will then be now?
Well, look at it like Back to the Future 2. There's the Marty McFly that's up on stage playing Johnny B. Goode, and then there's the Marty McFly that's technically a few weeks older, or however much older he is, maybe only a few days, that's backstage watching it happen.
Right.
So they represent two different periods of time, even though they're both in 1955, which is not even their own time.
But that doesn't work because in Doc Brown's logic, if the two meet each other, then there's going to be a paradox and the universe will explode.
Well, the two Jennifers met.
Yeah, and she fainted, and that's the paradox. And the universe exploded.
Right, even though they're from different time periods, they're occupying the same realm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like you said, that's like saying my dad's from a different period, but me and him exist in the same time, so we're together. So
but you're not the same person. And you don't have one constant device. See, the sonic screwdriver is a constant device.
But my dad's the same person. It's just he's older. You know, just like in your instance, my dad is a week older instead of, you know, being, you know, however much older he should be. They still occupy the same space.
And,
the same
let's say that Marty McFly has a dollar bill in his pocket the first time he goes back to 1955. That dollar bill's in his pocket while he's sitting there playing Johnny B. Goode. Okay, a couple days later, he's back in 1955 again in Back to the Future 2. He still has that same dollar bill in his pocket, but that dollar bill has seen more now. That dollar bill has been around longer.
And that's fine because they were apart from each other, but now they're all three are scanning the door at the exact same time. So okay. It's all happening at the same time.
John Hurt goes on with his timeline. The other doctors jump back to their timeline, back to their things. And
later, but at the present though,
you're not thinking fourth dimensional.
I am. The idea that would all work would mean that they all got away and that they all escaped and that the episode already finished and now they're all back to being trapped in the room again.
Yeah, they've all moved on.
I get that. But the problem is, no one went anywhere. It's all just they're all right there scanning at the same time, in the same moment, in the same second. So it doesn't work.
That makes complete sense to me.
All three of them are the same person who has been there three times.
See, Doctor Who messes with it because it's in the Doctor Who world. It's time is not linear. You know, they have the whole it's like a sphere, and they call it the timey-wimey shit, right?
Well,
but in Dave and I's world, it doesn't work that way. If I'm born in 1980 and in 2010 I discover time travel and I go to 1850 and I'm in the Wild West or whatever, and I get killed, my future ends in 1850. That's just how. Regardless that I was born in 1980, my future ends in 1850.
True.
Doctor Who doesn't work that way.
Let's say you go back to 1850, then you go back to your current timeline, you continue living your life. You decide 20 years down the road, wow, you know, I really enjoyed that going back to 1850. I'm going to go back again. You go back to the exact same time, and you see yourself there 20 years younger from the first time you went to 1850. And let's say you repeat the process again in another 20 years, and now you have yourself there three times representing three different periods of your life, once when you were 20, once when you were 40, once when you were 60. And let's say that all three of you were standing there in a room facing a door that you couldn't get out of, and you all had sonic screwdrivers in your pockets, and it's going to take the computer in your sonic screwdriver 60 years to calculate exactly what it needs to do to break down the door to escape, right? So the 20-year-old – well, not 60 years. It's going to have to take 40 years for it to work. So the 20-year-old you is going to start the calculations on that screwdriver. The 40-year-old you, it's going to be halfway done because it's had 20 years to work. Now, the 60-year-old you, but it's been running for 40 years and it's done.
I can stop you right there because I can't go back to 1850 because I'm already dead in 1850. My future self wouldn't know that I liked 1850 because I fucking died there.
You didn't die there. You went there when you were 20. You went back home. You liked it. You went
I didn't.
Back
no, I no,
Randy,
I loved it.
Randy changed your supposition to where you didn't die.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. For the purpose of this argument, you can't die. Just like John Hurt doesn't die, he continues being the Doctor. He just changes.
So let me see if I understand what you're saying, Randy. So if all three Justins are in the room together and they can touch each other and they're physically in the same room together,
yes.
you're saying that if all three of them activate their screwdriver at the same time, that it's each of them are going to be done at the same time? They're all going to be done at 60?
No, only one of them is going to be done.
The oldest
If the oldest one, the one that 20-year-old Justin is going to be the only one that's able to open the door. Because by the time he is the 60-year-old Justin, that process has been running for 40 years on that exact sonic screwdriver that 60-year-old Justin has in his hand. And that's the one that's able to open the door.
It doesn't work that way.
Randy, this is getting insane. We've already explained it.
I could talk about this for
an
hour, and it's going to go around in circles.
Randy, so you're saying the second the 20-year-old hits the screwdriver, the 60-year-old guy's done?
Yes. That's what he's saying. And that's how it worked in the show, even though it's incorrect.
It's 100% correct. I encourage our listeners to write us back.
It's like in Bill and Ted's when he says trash can. Remember a trash can, then all of a sudden a trash can just appears on the guy's head.
Exactly.
And that's incorrect. It falls out of the sky. We don't see, you know, Ted from the future drop the trash can on him. It just appears out of nowhere.
Plus they're slackers. They wouldn't remember to go back.
Yeah, it's stupid. It makes no sense.
Right. Plus, Randy, your assumption is so you're saying the 20-year-old never left. To where in Justin's your original analogy,
not it at all. He left. He went home.
Yeah,
because
the 20-year-old.
The 20-year-old, he went home, he carried on with his life till he was 40, decided to go back, went back to 1850 for a couple days, went back home, and then went back again to 1850 when he turned 60, spent a couple days. That's when they all ended up getting locked up.
Right.
Four-way with an underage girl, you know, himself right. Three different ages and, you know.
But in this scenario, the 60-year-old hasn't been there for 40 years. He's gone back and forth.
He's gone back and forth twice the entire time the calculation has been running on his sonic screwdriver, which is working in a very linear time path because it's always with him.
The Justins don't stay in the room, just the screwdriver.
No, nothing stays in the room. The screwdriver stays with the Justin.
It still doesn't work because it's so dumb because no one even left. We're all still in the room. It's assuming that we got away and we escaped. It doesn't
we
make
sense. We did because the oldest one had the key to get out. So they all got out.
It's all hypotheticals. They say, oh, hey, let's just scan here because obviously we get out of all this. That's stupid.
So what they're saying is the original Doctor just sat there and did nothing while the calculation was going.
Yeah.
He went on with his life. He went on to other adventures.
He's stuck in a room.
Nobody is stuck in a room for very long.
They've already gone and left and come back.
You're like, you're getting hung up on the fact that they're stuck in the room.
Because that's the point.
No, because they were all there. They were going to get out no matter what.
The door was unlocked anyway.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's a moot point. Door is unlocked.
Which makes it even dumber. Oh, jeez.
God, I hope you keep all this in the podcast.
Let's never talk about time travel ever again. Time is not linear.
It is too.
Time is a human construct. That doesn't mean anything.
Wait, tell that to the rocks and Pangea.
Boom.
Moving on.
Are we?
Doctor Who was great. I loved it.
Despite its flaws.
It was the best thing.
Well, now I want to watch it just so I can argue more.
Now we're going to move on to another topic. Okay. Oh.
What do we got? What's next?
Doctor Who 50.5.
Shut up. It's my turn.
Always your turn.
The Walking Dead was on last night.
Was there time travel?
There was more of the governor's story. Which, fortunately, it only took 2 episodes to get us caught up on the governor's goings-on, fortunately. They didn't drag it out forever. So now he's back up to the present, and we're going to have, like, a final showdown next weekend. Another final showdown between the governor and the prison, which I found kind of hilarious since this is where we were last year, and now we're back there again. Except the governor has
a tank.
He has New Woodbury.
Yeah, and he just convinces these people to go and kill more people.
Yep,
that's so dumb.
So he was always a psychopath. He was still a psychopath all along. Woo! I mean, he has adopted like Lily and her family as his own. But he did not change at all after what happened at Woodbury. He's still the crazy guy who needs to have things his way or the highway. But man, like, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched The Walking Dead, skip ahead a few minutes.
I haven't watched it.
You haven't?
I'm like 3 episodes behind. I just read Amanda's recaps.
You can't have been watching it. When he killed Martinez, at first, I didn't think that was actually happening because it was so abrupt. Just out of nowhere, golf club to the back of the head, kicked over the Winnebago.
Plus, he knew the governor's past, too. He was the only one who knew
exactly
the whole story. Interesting.
But I think what was going on more with the governor was that, you know, the people who were in charge there were weak in his eyes, and he has to look out for Lily and Megan and Tara. And if their leaders are weak, then that will put the 3 women in danger, and he can't lose them, or else he'll, like, seriously have a psychotic break.
Carl's gonna shoot them all in the face. That's what he does. It's kind of his thing.
He's a little trigger happy. So that'll just be, you know, season 4 finale or season 3 finale all over again.
Yeah. It's next week. People are going to die, right? Like, people will fall.
Right.
Well, lucky for us, we have a bunch of nameless, faceless people on both sides who can die.
Right.
That helps.
So, yeah.
Family Guy. Let's talk about that. Brian, he got killed. How do you guys feel about that?
I was shocked when you told me.
He's such a beloved character. I can't believe that. I mean, it's cool to want to kind of freshen things up and pull the rug out from under people and give them something they don't expect. But killing off such a beloved character just seems wrong to me. It's nothing that you would ever see, and it's kind of a poor comparison, but, you know, for example, The Simpsons has been on for 25 years and they've never killed off any main character, meaning like any member of the family, because it would just kind of throw off the whole paradigm. And
they even have grandpa around.
Yeah. And that guy's old as dirt. So I don't know. It feels wrong to me, mainly because I like the character so much.
And it's like Seth MacFarlane's real voice too. So it's not like he has to do anything special to record it.
I hear they're getting a new dog though.
They did. His name is Vinny.
They already replaced him.
Yeah, on the episode, he got replaced.
How does that work?
He died like 12, 15 minutes into the episode.
Maybe Seth MacFarlane just got tired of doing all those voices.
He'll be back.
Yeah. It's going to be Ghost Dog.
Yeah, the ratings have been going down pretty consistently. So maybe this is their way to try to revitalize their viewership.
Yeah, but if everybody likes Brian and now he's not there, what's the reason to watch it?
Well, now it can be all exciting when they bring him back.
Oh. Well, see, Stewie has a time machine, and they world it in a way to where the time machine's broken and they can no longer get replacement parts.
Convenient.
The guy that makes whatever, some titanium piece, he got killed for drawing a picture of Muhammad. It was just a doodle while he was on the phone, like he wasn't even paying attention, but they found out about it, so he was killed.
Cute.
Yeah. So don't be drawing pictures of Muhammad, and if you do, don't show anybody.
Yeah. I won't show you the one I just doodled.
No.
He's got an engorged nether region.
Mine's wearing a hat.
And an engorged nether region?
It's called a turban.
No, it's like a ball cap.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's incognito. He wants to blend in.
Moving on. We have a fun list?
We do have kind of a fun list. I figured since we're almost to Thanksgiving and it's, you know, it's an underappreciated holiday. There haven't been a whole lot of movies made about it, but there are a few that showcase the fun side of Thanksgiving, and I just wanted to share a few of those with you guys, my other family.
Ooh.
Not all of these are particularly good, because I went through and I was looking at a lot of Thanksgiving movie lists to come up with these, and I just picked out some fun ones, and there's only five on the list, so it's going to be a quick one tonight. Number five, the Pauly Shore classic, Son-in-Law.
Hmm.
You guys seen that one?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I actually have not. I thought I'd seen all the Pauly Shore movies, but that one doesn't ring a bell for me.
Sorry, keep calling him like Crotch, and his name is Crawl, but they call him like everything but that.
Yeah, Crotch. Crumb.
And that guy, and the dad's actually not a bad guy for once in a movie.
Yeah.
That guy's always bad.
Huh.
I forget his name.
Always like the evil politician. And
yeah. What the hell is his name?
Evil politician guy. The guy who gets all the parts that Fred Thompson doesn't take.
Yeah. There you go.
Number four on my list here.
Sorry.
Something that I'm sure. Tiffany in Son-in-Law too, so you should check it out.
Barely. And Rebecca Warner does not get naked in this movie. She gets naked in every movie after, but not that one.
This was like a turning point.
Yeah.
The number four movie on my list here is one that we probably all saw while we were growing up. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Oh, I hate that shit. I hate the Peanuts. I hate fucking Charlie Brown and every idiot kid that's on that show.
You know, I don't know of anybody that actually still likes it to this day. It's all like a nostalgia thing for like the 30 and up crowd. Like younger people, I don't think ever got into it. I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
It's not funny. It's not entertaining. It's just stupid.
Like stuff that they reference is just like old stuff that our parents would get.
Right. Well, I can tell you that my kids know Charlie Brown is the guy who's at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
I mean, they've never seen anything Charlie Brown related, but they know them from Camp Snoopy at Knott's Berry Farm.
I'm surprised they've been able to avoid it. But then again, with TV such as it is today compared to when we were kids, they have so much crap to watch. They don't have to watch like the Halloween special and the Thanksgiving special and the Christmas special.
Yeah, they have I have Verizon and we have 13 channels that show nothing but cartoons. You know, yeah. We had like Saturday mornings and the holiday like primetime specials.
Yeah. Makes me nostalgic and a bit sad. Number three.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Lane Smith was the guy's name. And it's funny that you mentioned Fred Thompson because Fred Thompson was, you know, the Republican senator for
Tennessee,
yeah. And Lane Smith was actually born in Tennessee.
Hmm.
But Memphis.
Small world.
I know. What are the odds?
He was one of his constituents.
Yeah. I'm a goddamn constituent. Jeez. I think we're the only two people in the world that can quote Distinguished Gentleman, but whatever.
Yo.
Number two.
And he's in that movie.
he is, what do you call it? What's the chairman? He's the chairman.
Yeah, he's Chairman Dodd.
Chairman Dodd. Dick Dodge. Power and Industry. He's going to jail. Continue the list.
Some bitch.
Some bitch.
Some bitch. Oh. Number three, Scent of a Woman, 1992.
Hooah.
Yeah, the entire thing takes place Thanksgiving weekend.
Wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
In fact, that was Al Pacino's first Academy Award for Best Actor.
Yeah.
He had been nominated 4 times before that.
9 times.
Number two.
I know what number one and two are. I'm excited.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1987.
Yay!
It is pretty much, without a doubt, the most beloved Thanksgiving-themed film of all time.
I would say so.
And in hearts of many people, one of the best comedies of all time.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but I don't have it that high on my list.
I love John Candy.
Yeah.
I mean, really just, I mean, like the more, like, you learn about him, like, from, like, friends and stuff, about how he's just, like, he was, like, the single nicest guy in the world, and, you know, he was taken, obviously, super young, and he was in so many, like, iconic movies that I just love everything he's in. Even, like, Wagons East and Canadian Bacon.
Yeah. One time we had a question on Hattrick Folly where it was like, if you could take on any role in a movie, what would it be? And my answer was to be Steve Martin's role so I could act with John Candy because I love that movie so much.
Yeah, it's a funny movie. It's awesome. A heartwarming story.
It's mm-hmm. fun.
It's a heartwarmer at the end, too.
Yeah. That's good. I get a little choked up when he's on a train.
Yeah, he puts it all together.
Yeah, connecting the dots.
He's smart there.
Yeah. Huh. And the music's playing.
Mm-hmm. John Hughes action.
Yeah, he's a getter with the music there.
Can't wait for number one.
Number one, Thanksgiving, 2009. It's a comedy horror movie starring a rubber turkey puppet. It's basically a story about a killer turkey taking revenge on mankind.
Have you seen
it? And it's chock full of just terrible one-liners and the most god-awful scenes you could possibly imagine committed to film. It is just so bad that it's good. It's one of those movies that's just... there's very low production value, but it's just so bizarre and out there, you're going to laugh the entire time.
Have you seen it, Justin?
Mm-mm.
It goes on and off of Netflix. Like, it's just... the opening of the movie is you see this, like, topless, like, maid, like, running through, like, the forest.
She's like a pilgrim or something.
Yeah, like a pilgrim. And you see, like, this... you see something chasing. You have no idea what it is. And all of a sudden, she turns around, faces the camera, like, breasts full there. And you see this just, like, terrible rubber puppet turkey say, "Nice tits, bitch!" And, like, hits her with an axe.
What?
And that's, like, the opening of the film. So at one point... the turkey kills one of the teenager's dads and wears the dad's face around this rubber turkey. And it looks obviously nothing like her dad. And, like, she, like, treats it like the dad and, like, gives it a kiss and stuff. And the turkey, like, rapes girls. It's like yeah. The, like, worst thing.
So the turkey comes up. This guy's doing a chick from behind, right? The turkey comes up and, like, snaps his neck. And the guy falls over dead. And then the turkey just takes over.
Wow.
Like, the best part is that so then he finishes and he makes like this noise. She turns around. He's like, "You just got stuffed, bitch," and like snaps her neck.
What?
You just got stuffed. And then there's like crime scene investigators there the next day. And they're already hot on the trail of this turkey. And they could tell it was his. It was him because he left behind a gravy flavored condom.
What?
It was terrible. And like the tagline for the movie is like, "Gobble, gobble, motherfucker." But it's memorable. It's full of ridiculous one-liners. Like, we've seen this once, and we can quote this fucking movie, you know? Because that's how memorable it is.
It's ridiculous.
Sounds amazing.
Fine list, Randy. I enjoyed every second of it.
Yay, I'm glad.
Do we have a game?
We do have a game.
Ooh.
In honor of the Doctor Who 50th anniversary... I came up with a Doctor Who related game.
Yay.
This one is going to be... so the way we're going to play this game is... I'm going to give you guys a quote. And you tell me whether it's from Doctor Who or if it's from Brian Greene's The Elegant Universe, which is about string theory and quantum mechanics.
Sounds like a horrible, horrible game.
Is this as soon as you know it, answer it, or is it taking turns?
Yeah, let's do that, because it'll be faster. It makes editing so much easier.
When we take turns? Or
no, when we just do it, shout it out when you know it.
Shout out.
So Dr. Green or Dr. Who?
Yeah. All right, so the first quote is, some things are fixed, some things are in flux.
Dr. Green.
Dr. Who.
Randy got it. Woo! Okay. Number two, the microscopic fabric of our universe is a richly intertwined multidimensional. I heard Randy first.
That's my answer, Randy. No, you have to wait till the question's said. You're answering Doctor Who, I'm answering Dr. Green, and Randy's and Justin's answering none of the above.
Okay, next one. Free will is the sensation of making a choice. The sensation is real, but the choice seems illusory.
Doctor Who.
Green.
Randy's right.
Yay!
Okay. The universe is big. It's vast and complicated and ridiculous. And sometimes, very rarely, impossible things just happen and we call them miracles.
Doctor Who.
I heard Justin first. Yeah. All right. Randy has three. Justin has one. Dave has to get on the board.
No. What was that?
I don't know.
You, I
thought. Not me.
Not I. Okay. Next quote. Things are the way they are in our universe because if they weren't, we wouldn't be here to notice.
Dr. Green.
Doctor Who.
Yay, Dave got on the board.
Yes. Okay, buddies.
All right, next one. All the elements in your body were forged many, many millions of years ago in the heart of a faraway star that exploded and died. That explosion scattered those elements across the designations of deep space.
Dr. Green.
Wait, did everyone say Dr. Green?
We did.
Yes.
You were all wrong! That's from Doctor Who.
50-50 chance quote, and three of us get it wrong.
The quote goes on, after so many millions of years, these elements came together to form new stars and new planets, and on it went. The elements came together and burst apart, forming shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings, until eventually they came together to make you. You are unique in the universe. There's only one Mary, and there will never be another.
I can't imagine why I don't watch this show.
Okay.
Exterminate. I know that one. That's Doctor Who.
The point of these quotes is that you can't distinguish them from a physics book.
Oh. I get it now.
The universe evolves according to a rigorous and precise mathematical formalism.
Dr. Green.
Yay. That was Justin.
Dr. Who.
Justin has two. Dave has one. Randy still has three.
This is Dr. Green from ER?
No. Brian Greene, who wrote a book about physics and string theory called The Elegant Universe.
Oh.
He's very famous among people who read books.
I don't. I watched Lost, Back to the Future, and Doctor Who. Anyway, is that it? Is that 10?
No, I still have more.
Oh, go for it.
That's 6. Oh, it's 7. Sorry.
You guys, it's still anyone's game, actually.
Oh. Your game.
Okay, so here's the next one. That's where we are, on a stable world in a universe of antimatter, an anomaly within an impossibility.
Dr. Green.
Dr. Who.
Randy got it.
Real quick, before we do the last two, are they going to continue the who green, who green, who green, who green pattern?
That wasn't the pattern.
Was it?
No.
Oh.
I had a teacher once that
pattern. They were random.
Used to do true or false, and sometimes they would all be true or all be false. And it's like, even when you know it's true, you're like, it can't be true. There's too many truths in a row. What a dick.
But Randy was right. That was from Doctor Who. Well, Dave was right too, but Dave was a half second behind. Okay.
That was too slow.
But you guys are really in the same space.
Yeah, so I mean, really, we both get a point, right? Well, actually, no, because I was second. I get the point because I was there to do it.
Yeah, you already knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, so I get the point. It's whoever answers last.
Well, Randy got four, so... Wait. Yeah, well, actually, if Justin gets the next two right, he could tie it.
Oh, maybe. Shit. Dude, I'm hoping you get these, Justin. I want to see some sudden death.
All
right. How many sudden death? Okay, next quote. Time, like space, although a dimension in itself, also has dimensions of its own.
Dr. Green.
Wait, what?
Doctor Who.
Randy just said
Green. I heard Justin.
Randy said Green, I said Dr. Green, David said Doctor Who.
Okay, well, Dave's right.
Yeah.
You just made Randy win.
Yep, because Randy wins.
I only answered because
you and
you
Randy
both
were wrong.
Good job, Randy.
Good job.
Yay.
Randy knows his Doctor Who or quantum mechanics.
What a loser.
Nerd or just lucky guesser.
Or it's 50-50 since there's only two answers for each one.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is fine. That makes it engaging for all of us.
I like it.
Great game.
Good times.
Hands down, the best Doctor Who game we've ever played.
Even better than Doctor Who Alien or Disease?
Oh, that
was pretty good, too.
I don't
want to
try and
I lost
research
that one.
Diseases again. That took forever.
Randy almost bought a plush disease the other day.
Oh, yeah?
They sold like plush versions of gonorrhea and so like all like the sexually transmitted diseases. They had cute little plushes.
Yeah, gonorrhea had these like sad puppy dog eyes.
They have them on ThinkGeek, right?
Yeah, this guy was all about tribbles. But yeah, he sold tribbles and STDs.
Hmm. It's on his business card.
Yeah. Supplier of fine purveyor of tribble and sexually transmitted diseases. Or whatever they're called nowadays.
STDs.
I think they're called STI, sexually transmitted infections, is what they're calling them now.
What?
Yeah,
they got to be more politically correct or whatever.
An infection is more PC than disease?
I guess.
Infection sounds like zombies.
Well, because diseases have such a bad rap, you guys.
Right. That is the dumbest thing.
So do they. They deserve. They have a bad rap, too. It's filthy sailors.
I fell asleep to that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Filthy Sailors?
No. Oh, he was Austin Powers. And, I needed something to watch, and I wanted to set my timer to go to sleep, and it was Austin Powers.
There are worse movies to go to sleep to.
Yeah. It was real genius last night.
Oh, yeah?
Good choice.
That's all I got.
Yay.
What about you boys?
I'm done, man.
It's just are done, man.
Pull this train into the station, Amanda.
All right, well, that's it for our episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thank you for joining us again this week. And you can find more great stuff on our website, geeklegacy.com, including the Pixelated Podcast, starring Stephen James and Justin Cavender, and the Comic Corner Podcast, which is run by Jeff and Tyler. And thanks again. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Bye.